Amen. But Jesus came on the scene. You know what? He was still moving. I said he was still moving. He was still moving. You may think it's over, but he's still moving. You may think it's too late, but he's still moving. You may think it's all dead and done, but he's still moving. Amen. God's not finished yet. Amen. Well, you know what he wanted to say? He said, you know me as a healer, but I'm going to show you that I am the resurrection and I am the life. Amen. My little mama was a praying woman. And I sure hated when she died because I liked her praying for me. But you know what? Her prayers didn't die with her. And after she died, amen, three of her sons, when they come close to death, they all come back to God. And her daughter that had not been serving the Lord is now serving the Lord many years after she passed on. I'm telling you today, God is a moving God. God is a moving God. God is a moving God. And when he moves, you better move. Amen. That's why you can't come to church and just, you know, the Holy Ghost gets to moving. You better not sit there. Amen. Well, I don't feel like singing tonight. Don't have anything to do with how you feel. God's moving. Move with him. I don't care if you feel like singing. Doesn't matter if your throat's sore. Croak it out the best you can. Move with the Holy Ghost. Put your hands together. Amen. Do what you gotta do, but move when the Holy Ghost moves. Amen. The worst thing that could happen to any church is when the Holy Ghost moves on down the block saying, I couldn't move him, but I'm not going to stop. If you won't move with me, I'll find somebody somewhere that will move. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God help us today that we never allow that to happen. Amen. That we'll move when the Holy Ghost moves. Amen. So God is, he's in action. He's working. Amen. He's doing things. He's energy. He's power. He's the Spirit of life. Amen. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, first of all, God is Spirit. What is Spirit? Spirit is life. What happens when you die? Your spirit departs your body. And when your body and your spirit separate, your body dies because spirit is the life force that keeps you moving and keeps you breathing and keeps you going. Hallelujah. Amen. So we got to have spirit to have life, and God is spirit, so God is life. Where does your spirit go? It goes back to God who gave it. Amen. Praise the Lord. It becomes him again. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is simply God in action. I think it's important tonight that we note that God is holy. I like that word. A lot of people get scared when you mention the word holy. They said, here you go again. You got it. Here we go again. Amen. Praise God. The word holy is a beautiful word. All it means is set aside for a special purpose. Amen. When I was growing up, we had Sunday clothes. You know what Sunday clothes are? You just wore them on Sunday. And the first thing my mama said when I stepped out of the car was, now you get those Sunday clothes off and you go put your play clothes on. She had learned by experience if she didn't do that, pretty soon my Sunday clothes would be my play clothes. Amen. And so what was it? They were the best I had. They were special. Isn't that right? They were special. They were holy, if you will. They were set apart. I didn't wear those just anywhere. Those were special clothes. Amen. You get, most of the time when ladies get married, they have a special dress they get married in. They call it a wedding dress. Most of the time they only wear it one time. They spend all that money and go through all that trouble to wear it one time. Now that's special. That's special. Amen. You got your burying clothes. That's special. Amen. I'm just saying that some things are special. So when you say God is holy, you're saying God is special. He's not like anything. He's not like anybody. He's special. And whenever God says, be ye holy, for I am holy, he's saying, you be special. You be so special, you're set apart, and you're not like anybody else. Let people laugh if they will. Let people mock if they will. But that's all right, because I have chosen you, and I have called you, and I have set you apart. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. Our God is a holy God, and he wants a holy people. Amen. That's why it's called the Holy Spirit. It's not like any other spirit. There are evil spirits. There are defiling spirits. There are perverted spirits. There are demonic spirits. There are carnal spirits. But then there's the Spirit of God, and it's holy. Amen. I can't figure out why people don't want to be holy. Amen. It's all right, isn't it? Pray, I feel like you're still with me here. Amen. One of the greatest verses in the Bible is 1 Timothy 3:16. It tries to explain to us the incarnation. When God was manifest in flesh. Everybody say God. God was. God was. The word manifest means revealed or shown. God was revealed or shown in flesh. I've used that illustration in times past that makes sense to me. It's the little boy that was crying in the night, and his dad came to his room and he said, son, what are you crying for? He said, Jesus is here with you. The angels are encamped round about you. The little boy said, I know that, Dad. I know Jesus is here. I know angels are here, but I need somebody with some skin on. Somebody I can see. Somebody I can feel. Somebody I can hear. Let me make it simple for you. Jesus Christ is God with skin on. He's God you can see. He's God you can hear. He's God you can touch. He's God you can feel. He's just God manifest in the flesh. He was a dual nature. He's all God. There's no more God than what was in Jesus Christ. The Bible said all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily. You got the spirit and you got the body. Amen. Everything. That's why we sing it's all in him. Praise the Lord. Amen. He was a dual nature. He's God and he's man. That's why Luke 2:52, the Bible says that Jesus increased. Everybody say increased. Increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Why? Because he was in a body. He born a baby. He grew up like a baby. He was like other babies. Amen. He had to be burped. He had to be changed. He had to be fed. He was like any other baby. And then as he grew up, he became a child and he started walking. And then after that, the Bible says he increased in stature. I don't know if they did it back in those days, but maybe on the back of the kitchen door, there was little marks there. You know, he's this tall this year and this tall next year and this tall next year. Amen. He increased as a man. He increased. He didn't increase as God. God can't increase. You can't get any bigger than omnipresent. You can't get any more powerful than omnipotent. You can't get smarter than omniscient. You can't live longer than eternity. So how can God grow? Amen. God can't grow. He said, I change not. How could he? He's perfect. Amen. And so, but in a body, in a flesh form, he grew. Amen. And now somebody said, it don't make sense to me. How can that be? You have the Holy Ghost tonight. You know what that is? That's God in flesh. You hear what I'm saying? That's God in flesh. You're not God, but you have God in you. Amen. Your flesh and your spirit and the Spirit of God are different. Jesus Christ was a flesh body that the Spirit of God inhabited. The difference in Him and us, the Bible said He had the Spirit without measure and you have the Spirit with measure. In other words, He had all of it and you got some of it. There's a difference, you know. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, you full of the Holy Ghost? God said, no, I'm about a quart low. Amen. I've seen some folks lower than that. Amen. I don't know how many quarts they hold, but stay full. We need you full. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so Jesus Christ grew, and He was tempted. Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, this is very interesting, folks. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, full of the Holy Ghost. He wasn't backslid. Full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He returned from Jordan and, get this, was led by the devil. No. Wait a minute. Wait, what did that say? What? Did that say that? Led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You mean the Spirit of God will lead me sometimes in desert places and dry places and hard places? Yeah, it will. Yes, it will. Amen. So the Spirit led him. It wasn't that was a lot of the times we blame stuff on the devil. Sometimes it's not the devil, it's God. You know what's hard? To break habits. I'm trying real hard. Sometimes I slip up. I make myself catch it and I say, wait a minute. I didn't mean that. But sometimes we say, I love my car. I love my house. As my wife's friend used to say on the job, he said, I hate my job. But I love my paycheck. So we get to where we love stuff. But we need to change that and not say, I love stuff. Thank God for my car. Thank God for my house. Thank God for my paycheck. Thank God for all the stuff that He's given me. But I don't love it. You see, when God sees you loving something, He's going to take it away. Because He does not want you to make that an idol in your life. Does that make sense to anybody? Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Amen. So God sometimes leads us in places that we don't want to go. Amen. I got a long way to go, and I'm getting all hung up here. Let me stick with my business here. And then, now, I'm not going to go through the whole temptation, but I want you to notice, first of all, and specifically verse 5, and the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Can you imagine that? He saw all the beauty, all of the great things, all of the gold, the silver, the treasures, the royalty, the palaces. He saw the kings. He saw the queens. He saw the singers. He saw the musicians. He saw everything there was to see in a moment of time. Everything that was of beauty, everything that was of worth, everything that was popular, he saw it. And the devil showed it to him. And then the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now, did you hear what that said? The devil's got some stuff that he can give you if you're willing to pay the price. Now, I'm going to step out on some shaky ground here. This is one reason I have a little bit of a bone to pick with the prosperity message. that you're serving God for stuff. If you're serving God for stuff, you got the wrong God. If you're serving God because he's going to give you a big bank account and a nice house and a bigger car and better clothes and he's going to move you to a better circle of friends and put you in a better family and all the rest of that, you got the wrong God. Amen. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. Amen. So if we're not careful, you see, even in the world, in the realm of religion, there are preachers and there are churches that have been enriched with stuff, with things, with beauty, but they're not spiritual. They lost their spirituality. They lost their power. They lost their prayer. They lost their preaching. They lost their separation. All because they wanted one thing. They wanted to be respected and received in the world. Amen. They don't want to be like, they don't want to be separated. They don't want to be different. Amen. Praise God. They just want to feel good. Amen. I hope you feel good when you come to church. I want you to feel good when you come to church. I don't want to step on your toes when you come here. Amen. And I don't. The Word of God may, but I don't. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's not my job. Amen. But the Holy Ghost might do a little talking to you. I'm not here to rough anybody up. Promise I'm not. Amen. There's nobody here that loves you more than I love you. Nobody here wants you to do better than I want you to do better. Amen. So if things gets ruffled, don't blame me tonight. Amen. I'm just trying to preach the word of the Lord here. Amen. But the devil said, I got some stuff. And if you'll worship me, I'll give you my stuff. And there's a lot of people that have fallen for that. Those of you that want to be used in music ministry, you be careful. I said, you be careful. I've watched more musicians fall away than just about anything. Amen. You get people get to singing and the world starts saying, hey, you're good. You're good as anybody out here. You could be making a whole lot more money than you're making singing in those little churches. We can put you on TV. We can start you on the concert circuit and you can be playing to big crowds and come on, just follow us. Look at all this stuff we can give you if you'll just do it our way. It does it to preachers. You know what? There's no sense in you preaching just a handful of people. As good as you are, brother, and as well as you preach, man, you could be preaching to multitudes of people. You could have a church so full of folks. But you can't preach this and do that, and you can't preach this and do that, and you got to cut back on this, and you got to hold back on that, and you just can't do this, and you can't do that. But if you'll do what I tell you to, I'll make you a big church. Man, the devil's got some stuff. He got some stuff. And he told Jesus, he said, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you. Amen. Praise God. But you know what he didn't, did he? He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. Amen. Amen. Keep your stuff, and I'm going to keep God. Keep your stuff, and I'm going to keep righteousness. Keep your stuff, I'm going to keep holiness. Keep your stuff, I'm going to keep separation. Keep your stuff, I'm going to keep the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues, gifts of the Spirit in operation, healings, working of miracles. I'm going to keep what God has given me. Keep your stuff. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so the Bible said, Jesus said, you worship God and only worship God. And so he didn't bend, he didn't bow. Amen. He stood strong, he stood stalwart, and he won that temptation. Amen. And later on the Bible said, Jesus said this, he said, all power, get this, Now, what did the devil say? He said, I'm going to give you all this power. And he already had it, didn't he? Amen. Praise God, he had power to do anything he needed to do. He said to the leper, be thou clean. Amen. He said to the paralytic, leap and walk. Take up your bed and walk. Praise God. He said to the deaf, your ears be unstopped. He said to the blind, let your eyes see. Praise God. Amen. I can't see much more power than that. He could walk on water. He could calm a storm. Pray, he could multiply loaves and fishes. Praise God. He could do just about anything needed to be doing. I can't see why he needed any more power than he had. But at the end of his life, after his resurrection, after Calvary, and his death is buried, his resurrection, he said, all power. Everybody say that with me. All power. How you like that, devil? Amen. Not your little petty kingdoms that are going to crumble and fall. Not your petty riches that will perish in a lifetime. But all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Amen. You serve God. Amen. The riches and the reward are going to be awesome. Somebody said, serving God don't pay much here, but the retirement's out of this world. Indeed it is. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so Jesus won the test, the contest. He overcame in the temptation. Praise God. And he received power. Now, there are two words for power that are very interesting. In the King James, it's not very well delineated, but... In the Greek, original Greek it is, and I'm not a Greek student, but I have a Strong's concordance. So, and if you want to get real smart like I am, you get one too. Then you'll know everything I know. I'm not trying to put on any airs here, impress you, make you think I'm smart. Amen. I'm smart enough to look it up. Amen. So I know that there's primarily two words that are used for power. One of them is dunamis. Dunamis. And the dunamis is miracle working power. When you see the word dunamis, it's talking about power to work miracles, power to do wonders, power to do the supernatural. Then there's another word that's also used. It's exousia. Exousia is delegated power. Amen. Delegated power. So let me tell you what delegated power is. You're driving down the road. And all of a sudden you hear something behind you. A siren goes off and you see these little lights flashing. And instantly, I mean instantly, your foot comes off the accelerator, hits the brake. And your eyes go to the speedometer. Why does it do that? Because there's a power behind you. Amen. You pull over to the side of the road. And this, sometimes it's not even a guy. There's a sweet little lady, she's a highway patrol person, and she stopped me 2 or 3 times. Now then, she kind of looks at me and she's like, you again, huh? She's been very nice to me. But she comes up there, I'm bigger than her. She could probably whoop me, but I'm bigger than her. But nonetheless, she walks up to the car in her uniform with her gun strapped on her side and her badge there and her Texas hat on. Hey, man, and that's yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Sorry, ma'am. Do better, ma'am. Amen. Why is that? It's not because I'm afraid of her, but she represents the state of Texas. She represents an authority. She represents a power that's much greater than I am. Amen. If I can whoop her, she's got a whole bunch more she can call. And she can have them out there. As soon as her radio goes off, she can have a bunch of big old strapping guys out there. They'll slap me down on the ground, put my hands in handcuffs, drag me off, throw me in a cell. Amen. And forget I was ever there. I respect that. You see, that's delegated authority. In Mexico, there was they out in some of those intersections, they have a little stand in the center of the street, and a policeman stands up there and directs traffic. One day, a little boy saw that and nobody was standing there. He said, that'd be fun. So he got up there. And he's going, and cars are stopping. He's going like this, and cars are going. He's having the time of his life. Amen. People are paying attention to him. Well, not him, but he's standing in a place of authority. Delegated power. And because it's a delegated power, people are obeying him. Amen. So God has given Jesus Christ, exuded two kinds of power. He had miracle-working power, and he had authority, which was a delegated power over all things. Let me show you what I mean here in the scriptures. Amen. Luke chapter chapter 4, verse 14, it says, Jesus returned, talking about from the wilderness now, after the temptation, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Amen. He went back in dunamis. He had a power over him. He had power to do things. He had power to accomplish things. Amen. And he used that power only for good. I said he used that power only for good. You got to be careful what you pray for, and you really got to be careful when you get it. If you pray for power gifts and God gives you power gifts, you got to be really careful how you use the power gifts. Because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Once you got it, you got it. If you abuse it, you still have it. But you still are responsible and accountable to the one that gave it to you. It's the same thing an officer of the law. An officer of the law can become an outlaw. Amen. And when he does, he's responsible. And he will be held to a higher standard. Because he was given authority and abused it. If God gives you power and God gives you gifts and you abuse what God has given you, you will be held to a higher standard. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're not shouting as much, but this is good anyway. Amen. Now, Luke 4:32 said, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. His word was with exousia. It was a delegated authority. The Bible said he didn't speak like the Pharisees and the scribes. He said he spoke as one having power, authority, delegated authority. Heaven stood behind his word. Heaven stood behind his word. Amen. That's what happened when the apostles went forth after the resurrection. The Bible says, and they went everywhere preaching the word, God working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. You know why more people don't get the Holy Ghost in churches? Because churches don't preach the Holy Ghost. God's not concerned about what the sign says out in front of the church. Whatever kind of church it is, if you'll preach Holy Ghost, you'll get Holy Ghost. You preach healing, you'll get healing. You preach the power of the Holy Ghost, you'll have the power of the Holy Ghost. God's not concerned about your organization. Amen. But if you preach it, you'll get it. You preach healing, you'll have healings. You preach holiness, you'll have holiness. Praise God. Amen. And so there's the two kinds of power. And then Jesus delegated that power to his disciples. And he gave them both kinds of power. Look in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then called he the 12 disciples together and gave them power. That's dunamis, miracle-working power. The Bible said they came back rejoicing. They said that the people were healed. And they said, even the devils are subject to us in your name. He gave them two kinds of power. Power to heal, power to do miracles, and authority over demonic spirits. And they used that power, didn't they? What did he say? He said, rejoice not that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice rather that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Praise God. Don't get excited, too excited about the miracles that happen around you. They're wonderful. Thank God for them. And they ought to be. We need to see more of them. We need to see more of them. Praise God. Amen. That's fine. But let's don't get our focus on miracles. Amen. Praise God, if you got your eyes on the miracles, you got your eye on the wrong thing. You know what the greatest miracle is? salvation. Praise God. It's not how many people have been healed. How many got the Holy Ghost here lately? How many have been baptized in Jesus' name? How many broke the yoke of sin and are walking in righteousness? That's what matters. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he delegated the power. Amen. And as long as he was with them, they had power. Praise God. And then they had incarnate power. The power that was on the outside moved on the inside. Amen. Praise God. I have Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I have Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I'm so glad he's inside. How about you? Praise God. Book of John chapter 14. Amen. Verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's good, isn't it? He didn't say, put a bumper sticker on your car, honk. I'll wear a cross around your neck. He said, just keep my commandments. That'll be good enough. Praise God. I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. The word comforter means paraclete, one that comes alongside to help you. He's going to give you a constant companion and helper. Amen. Brother Bacon, when you're on the job, the Holy Ghost can help you. Amen. When you're in school, somebody said, as long as there are tests, there will be prayer in schools. God can help you in a test if you study. But don't you not study and expect God to help you. Well, I'm just going to let God fill my head. He will with hot air. Amen. But if you study and you prepare yourself and then you pray and said, God, please help me to be calm. Help me, Lord, not to get all excited and stirred up and worried about this. Amen. Help me to be able to give me a spirit of discernment here to determine what I know is right. Amen. And if you pray that way, God can help you even on a test. God can help you on a job. Lord, I don't know how to do this, but help me to know how to do this here. And he can give you in insight, and he can give you instruction. Amen. God can help you. God can protect you. It's good to have somebody like that. Friend of mine was working out in the oil field, Brother Hunt, you know how dangerous that is. And he was working out in the oil field, and the Holy Ghost just said, he said, all right. He said, Paul, get in your truck and drive away right now. He had no idea. He just went over, got in his truck, and drove away. And before he got very long, that whole unit blew up. And if he had been standing there, he would have died. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is a comforter that'll come alongside, and he'll help you. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter, and he'll abide with you forever. Now you see, he's telling me, he said, I'm going to die in a few days. I'm going to a cross, and I'm getting ready to die. You don't want to hear that, but I'm telling you anyway. And he said, but this comforter, this Holy Ghost, when he comes, he's not ever going to leave you. Amen. He's going to be with you forever. Praise God. And then this next verse, so beautiful. He said, and he talks about the comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Hallelujah. That's what we mean incarnate. That's when the Holy Ghost that's on the outside moves on the inside. In the Old Testament, he came upon them. In the New Testament, he comes in us. Amen. Praise God. And the book of Ephesians chapter 3 is awesome. It said, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Isn't that awesome? Now get this, according to the power that worketh in us. That's why you have the Holy Ghost working on the inside. Praise God. Now again, when you pray to God, somebody said, who did you just pray to on the cross? Did he pray to himself? No. He prayed to the Spirit that was in him. Who do you pray to when you pray? The Spirit that's in you. Is that not right? The Holy Ghost is in you. The Bible said, for the kingdom of heaven is in you. When I pray, I'm not praying to God somewhere out there on some throne up in a distant heaven, sitting up there looking over the marble battlements, looking down on me like some kind of a bug. Amen. I'm talking to the Holy Ghost that is in me, and I feel that, praise God. When I make contact, when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, when I'm praying in the Spirit, I feel God in me. How about you? You know what I'm talking about here tonight. Amen. It's in you. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, you shall receive power. Don't you love that? Dunamis. Dunamis. We use the, from that we get our word dynamo. You know what a dynamo does? It produces energy. It produces power. Amen. That's where we get our word dynamite from. Amen. It's something that's powerful. He said, you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be witnesses. Amen. Praise God. So it's moved on the inside. I'm trying to hurry here, folks. I got all this stuff and I want to say the good stuff for you. Amen. It's going to help us somehow, somewhere down the road. Amen. Now, God didn't just give us power to give us power. I cannot imagine. If somebody gave me the keys, I just read, what was it this week, that Chevrolet has now made a Corvette that has 650 horsepower. Now, to some of you, that don't mean anything, but that makes me salivate. Now, if you hand me the keys to that little buddy, stand back, because I'm going to demonstrate. I want to see what it will do. Amen. I'm not going to putt around 30 miles an hour. Amen. There's not now I can't outrun radios, but I can outrun the police for a little while. What is it? Have fun till my daddy takes my, this case, Corvette away. And my license and my life, but it'll be fun for a little while. You know what I'm saying? You see, there's some power there. And it begs to be demonstrated. They didn't make that car to drive 30 miles an hour. They made it to fly. Amen. When you punch that buddy, you better be hanging on. Because it's a... What's the guy? He said, get in, shut the door, sit down, shut up, and hang on. Amen. Now, that's what it's made for. There's some power there, and it's to be demonstrated. Amen. Praise God. Some of you know what I'm talking about here. And you law-abiding citizens are praying for us. Thank you. Used to be a saying, remember, when you drive, angels retire at 55. Now it's 75. Montana, it's 85. Praise the Lord. So I got to quit messing around and get to business here. But power's made to be demonstrated. Amen. You know a guy that lifts weights, got big old balls and muscles. Amen. He wants to demonstrate that strength. He wants to lift heavy stuff. See, take that, you 92-pound weakling. He wants to demonstrate. He's got power. Power's to be demonstrated. Amen. Praise God. You know, I don't know if you've ever had the privilege to see, I've never seen the Blue Angels, but I've seen the Thunderbirds. They're awesome. Man, it's amazing when they pass by, the force and the power and the sound, it just rattles the bleachers where you're sitting. It's like, wow. And yet, it's all precise and under control. Just they can do these little 16-point rolls that are sharp and distinct. And like, man, how do you do that? It's demonstration of power. Demonstration of power. World War II was ended not so much because the two bombs that were dropped, but it was the demonstration of power that where that is, there's more to come. And they said, we don't need any more. That's enough. We've seen all we want to see. There's a demonstration of power. The Holy Ghost was given us to be demonstrated. Right? Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Here's the purpose. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Praise God. God forbid that from Pentecostal pulpits we should trade the power of the Holy Ghost and the demonstration of the Spirit just for oratory and the wisdom of men. Amen. Praise God. We still got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. That's what he wants us to have. And he wants us to demonstrate it. Praise God. You do that, you know. You know what? When you live godly in an ungodly world, you know what you're doing? You're demonstrating the Holy Ghost. When you walk on your job and everybody else there's being ungodly and you're being godly, you know what you're doing? You're demonstrating the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When everybody else is cussing and telling dirty jokes and you actually turn red and embarrassed and can still blush and still be ashamed and embarrassed, that's a wonderful thing because you're demonstrating the Holy Ghost. You haven't become so crass and you have not become so uncouth that the perversion of the world is normal for you. That's a good thing. And you're demonstrating the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you're being persecuted for your faith and you can stand strong, even when you're all by yourself and nobody else is around, but you're still standing strong and you're still doing right, you know what you're doing? You're demonstrating the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost tells you to pray for somebody and you pray for them, amen, and God works something in their life, that's the power of the Holy Ghost working through you and you are demonstrating the Holy Ghost. Amen. When people come down here to pray and you come up to help me pray and we lay our hands on them, we anoint them, amen, you know what we're doing? We're demonstrating the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Demonstration. And power of the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to be demonstrating the Holy Ghost. Right? Amen. Praise God. When you come to church and you're clapping your hands. And you got a smile on your face. And you're singing whether you can sing good or not. Amen. You're giving it all you got. I don't know if anybody saw that. I wish I had that. I'm putting it on my computer because I like it so much. But I don't know if you saw it. There's a little clip on Facebook. It's this little goat. Little white goat. He's there and this guy sitting beside him. You can't see the guy, you see the goat. And the goat bleats. He goes, meh. And the guy says, that's so wimpy. He said, you can do better than that. He said, give it all you got. Go. And he goes, meh. Now that's demonstration. Don't be wimpy. Give it all you got. Amen. If you're going to praise God, give it all you got. Amen. I hate to go to the zoo and see a lion laying over there in the grass with his tail swatting flies. I like it when he stands up and he roars. Hey, demonstrate, buddy. Show me why they call you the king of the beast. Don't you lay there like a lame piece of meat. Get up and do something. Amen. Pray, we need to demonstrate the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost? Demonstrate it. Amen. You're claiming the Holy Ghost? Demonstrate it. Don't tell me about it. Show me. I'm a spiritual Missourian. Show me. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Here we are. But you've got to demonstrate the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Now I'm going to talk just a moment, and I'll try to put this in high gear, about receiving the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, we talked about what it is and what it does. I want to talk about how you get it. Amen. The Bible gives some guidelines for receiving the Holy Ghost. First of all, everything we receive from God comes by faith, doesn't it? Amen. Romans chapter 10:17, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. The only way you get the Holy Ghost is you hear about it. Somebody's got to tell you that there's a Holy Ghost. Brother Bacon preached about it this morning. Whenever Paul met some Ephesian believers, amen, some of John's disciples, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" He said, "We hadn't heard about it." Well, now you have. Amen. You know what? They walked away. They had it. Praise God. He checked out the Holy Ghost. He told them about it. Checked out their baptism. They hadn't been baptized right. He corrected that. Amen. Laid hands on them. They got the Holy Ghost. Went their merry way talking in tongues. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's for me. It's for you. It's for your children. Their children too. Amen. This Holy Ghost that Jesus has given away. Amen. So first of all, we've got to have faith. We get faith by hearing. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. But say He is a rewarder. He rewards those that diligently seek Him. Does anybody here believe that? Do you believe if you seek God diligently, that He's going to reward you? Now, I can't preach on that, but I do want to say this about it. You got to be seeking the right thing. I heard about a guy, hard to believe, but a man fasted 40 days that God would kill somebody for doing him wrong. He just wasted 40 days of good food. God's not going to answer that prayer. His stinking, rotten attitude. God's not going to answer a prayer like that. I don't care how diligent you are. If you're not seeking the will of God, you're not going to get it. First of all, seek the Lord and His righteousness. Seek the Lord and His righteousness. Amen. Praise God. That's diligently seeking God. And in the Bible said, you got to believe He's going to reward you, and He will. God does not make idle promises, although some promises we have to pray into fruition. Amen. So the Bible says that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we've got to have faith in it. And then we got to believe that the Holy Ghost is for us. Look at John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, get this ready. Are you ready to hear this? If any man, anthropos, that doesn't just mean man, that's the human family. Generic word for man. Now, there is a word just for man, but this is a word that includes everybody. So it literally could be man or woman. If any thirst, any, anybody say any? Any. Okay, now that's totally open to everybody, isn't it? Now here's the qualifications. First of all, he's got a thirst. He's got to want it. But if anybody wants it, if you're anybody and you want it, you're qualified. Amen. That's pretty easy to qualify, isn't it? You just got to be thirsty. And then secondarily, you've got to come to Him. Praise God. Brother Bacon, give me the Holy Ghost, please, brother. Give me the Holy Ghost. I want. No, He can't do it. But if I go to Him, He's the baptizer. He can give me the Holy Ghost. And He said, if any man thirst, and he comes to Him, that's the next thing he's got to do. And then you got to drink. Watch this here. Oh, this is pretty cool. I'm thirsty anyway. Time for an illustration. Amen. Now I could sit there and say, give me a drink. I want a drink. Please, come on. Quench this thirst of mine. Nothing's happening. Come on. Amen. All you got to do is drink.
All right.
Yeah. See, that's faith. I believe I can pick that up. I believe it's going to go right down the right pipe. Sometimes it don't, but most of the time it does. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Let's drink. Come drink. So see, that's how faith works. Let me give you an illustration. When you come for water baptism, what do you do? You just show up, right? When you were baptized, all you did was stand there, cover your nose to keep the water out. I did all the work, whoever baptized you. I'm the baptizer. You're the candidate. You just got to show up and say, I want to be baptized. Just, okay, I'm going to stand here and you just do what you got to do. Amen. And somebody baptized you. That's how that works. It's baptism. Spirit baptism the same way. You come to the baptizer. Amen. You stand there and say, okay, Lord, I'm here. Amen. I'm surrendered. I'm ready. Amen. Fill her up. Amen. That's how spirit baptism works. You just come to the Lord and just be open. Praise God. And it is for you. Right? Acts chapter 2 verse 39, for the promise is to you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. We know that. Praise God. Repentance is necessary to receive the Holy Ghost. But you know the first word that John breathed in his ministry was repent. The first word that Jesus breathed in his ministry was repent. The first word that the converted Pentecostal preacher by the name of Peter preached was repent. I think we're on to something. Amen. Repentance just means a change of direction, change of life, change of decision. Amen. Turning away from sin to God. Amen. Quit sinning. Follow Jesus Christ in righteousness. That's what that's talking about. Amen. And so it's for you. God wants you to have it. Praise God. Does God want to forgive our sins? Let's look at John chapter 1 verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Do you believe that? Well, brother, I don't feel forgiven. It has nothing to do with it. It's not about your feelings. It's about what He said. He said, you confess your sin to me. You repent of your sin. I will forgive your sin. I will forgive your sin. Amen. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't feel clean. Still has nothing to do with it. You're still clean because He said, I will cleanse you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We feel good when we decide we're going to feel good. You feel the Holy Ghost when you decide you're going to feel the Holy Ghost. I've prayed for people. I used to pray for a lady in Columbia. I'd pray for her and she'd get the Holy Ghost. And the next time we'd have a meeting, she'd come back and she'd get the Holy Ghost. And every time she'd say, I need the Holy Ghost. I said, you got it last time we prayed for you. Amen. I don't feel like I got the Holy Ghost. But don't have anything to do with it. You spoke in tongues. That's the evidence you got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, mano. So I'd pray for her again. She'd speak in tongues. She'd get the Holy Ghost. Next meeting, she's back again. Amen. What do you do with somebody like that? Hey, you got it. It's the only kind of Holy Ghost there is. Just one. Amen. Brother Tenney said that God does not alter the robe of righteousness to fit the man. Let me say that again. God does not alter the robe of righteousness to fit the man. But God will, through repentance, alter the man to fit the robe of righteousness. You see who's got to change here? God doesn't change the Holy Ghost to fit you. But He will change you to fit the Holy Ghost. That's what repentance is for. So God can change you so you fit the robe of righteousness. Because He's not going to change the Holy Ghost to fit you. It already fits those that are repentant. Amen. And so that's how God works. Amen. That's how this all works. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Holy Ghost empties the soul of self. And then God fills the soul with Himself. That's how the Holy Ghost works. Get rid of me, and He comes in and fills me with Himself. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. Praise God. Somebody said, well, but I'm not good enough to get the Holy Ghost. That's like saying, I'm too sick to go to the doctor. Makes sense, does it? You get sick, you go to the doctor. You want to get right, you go to God. Amen. You can't get right without Him. He'll make you righteous. He'll make you good. And then you got to focus on praise and worship with expectation. One problem, a lot of folks seek tongues. Got to talk in tongues. Amen. We used to say it's kind of like buying a pair of shoes. You don't have saying, I want a pair of shoes. They got to have tongues. Amen. Well, if you find the right kind of shoes, they already got tongues. Right? I don't know if any ladies' shoes anymore have them, but men's shoes, all as far as I know, most of them do. Praise God. And so you just it just comes with it. You don't seek tongues, you seek God. With praise, with worship, with expectation. Here I am, Lord. Man, I'm ready for it. Pour it in. You know, when you do this right here, you know what that is? That's a funnel. That's a funnel saying, "Here I am, God, help me up." If that's how it works. Now, you know, I like the song, but I don't like the message. The song we used to sing was, "Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord." Right? That's not biblical, is it? David did say, "My cup runs over." The little boy said, "My cup got runned over." But he holds up his cup here, just filled it up. That's Old Testament theology. Jesus said, "It shall be in you a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." Amen. So it's not about a cup anymore, it's about a well. Amen. I've said this before. The Holy Ghost, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus poured out the Holy Ghost, and he poured it out everywhere. That's why the people get the Holy Ghost in Russia. People get the Holy Ghost in South America. People get the Holy Ghost in Africa. People get the Holy Ghost in Australia. People get the Holy Ghost at the North Pole. And if there's anybody at the South Pole wants it, then get it down there. You can get the Holy Ghost anywhere because it's poured out. It's everywhere. We literally live in a sea of Holy Ghost. It doesn't work like this. It's not like the Lord's standing there and he said, "Okay, buddy, you're getting real close. I got a little Holy Ghost here. I'm going to pour this on you when you get done. Come on now. I'm getting ready to pour it out." It's not like that. You don't pour a little bit here, a little bit there. It's poured out. Amen. It's like living in a sea. You know what happens if you're swimming underwater and you open your mouth? Sea's going to come in. You better be ready to keep your mouth shut, because the only way to keep it out is to keep your mouth shut. Right? Anybody ever had that experience? Amen. You're swimming, you open your mouth. I'm up spitting and sputtering. Amen. Because it's going to come in. It's going to come in. The only way to keep the Holy Ghost out is keep your mouth shut. Amen. If you... I'm praying in my mind, brother. Well, good. But how are you going to speak with tongues? With your mind. Amen. He's going to use your tongue. Amen. So you got to speak and you got to open your mouth and be verbal. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Amen. You see, and you're praising and you're worshiping God. Amen. That's how it comes in. That's how you open yourself to it. Amen. Praise God. And the more you open yourself to the Holy Ghost, and the more you surrender to the Holy Ghost, and you surrender your mind, your thoughts, and your tongue gets thick, and you're not speaking right, and boy, something on the inside's rising up, and it just will just say what it wants to say. Amen. Praise God. I'm not going to tell you what to say, but I promise you, when you speak in tongues, it's not going to sound like you. It's not going to be what you normally sound like. You're not going to be saying what you normally say. If you are, that's still you. It's not the Holy Ghost yet. Because when the Holy Ghost comes in, he starts talking, he's going to talk differently than you talk. But you got to yield to it and let it happen. How do you do that? By faith. Amen. You feel it. It's rising. You just let it express itself. Amen. That's what the Bible says, as the Holy Ghost gives utterance. In other words, the Holy Ghost gives you the words. He gives you the vocabulary. He uses your apparatus, your vocal cords, your tongue, your mouth. He uses all of that. But he gives you the words to say as you yield to him, and it just comes out the way he wants it. And he begins to say what he wants to say. And it bypasses your brain. That's why the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, you see. Amen. That's how you know the Holy Ghost moved in your heart, is because your mouth is speaking. From the bunch of the heart, the mouth is speaking. So the heart is saying, "I'm full of the Holy Ghost now." Amen. Praise God, I'm speaking something I don't know, because I bypassed your intellect here. You don't know what you're saying. You don't understand what you're saying unless the Holy Ghost gives you an interpretation, and he can. But most of the time, he doesn't in that case. The Bible says it's a spirit making intercession for us. Things that we don't know how to express, so God's expressing it for us. You don't need to know what you're saying. You just believe it. You're going to get it. Praise God. And the Holy Ghost is saying what you need. Amen. I got to stop. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a power in the Holy Ghost. And it's for me. It's for you. It's for your children. And their children too. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Holy Ghost. Praise God. The Holy Ghost. It's for us tonight. Amen. That's how you receive it. Praise the Lord. That's how you receive it. Somebody said, do I have to talk in tongues? No. You get to talk in tongues. Amen. It's not a have to. It's a get to. Praise the Lord. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a miracle. Praise God. It's God-given dunamis power. It's ousia. Amen. It's God giving you delegated authority. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the Holy Ghost. Amen. You want to get the Holy Ghost tonight? If you got it, you want it again? I said, if you got it, do you want it again? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You can have it again. All over again. Praise the Lord. Brother Bacon this morning said, do you remember how it felt? Well, if you don't, come get it again. Amen. If you sprung a leak, come get it again. Amen. He wants you to have it. Praise the Lord. I used to hear somebody say, well, when God gets ready, he was ready at Pentecost. Amen. You're not waiting on him. He was ready 2,000 years ago. He's just waiting on you. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's for me. It's for you. It's for your children. Their children too. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, the altar's open. Praise God. You want to come and pray? Amen. You want God to use you?